This is Nolan Financial Radio with Tara Nolan from Tara Nolan Advisory Services. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Tara provides her clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Nolan Financial Radio with Tara Nolan.
Hello, and welcome to Nolan Financial Radio. My name is Chris McKinney from Nolan Financial Partners. If you'd like more information on what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 719-210-4242 or visit us online at nolanfinancialpartners.com. And while our website, click on the radio page, check out our past shows, and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Since President Trump's tariffs have begun dominating the financial news sectors early this year, many who make their living in the financial world have been debating the likelihood that those tariffs could lead to a recession in the United States. But now that the U.S. and China have agreed to kind of put tariffs off for a while, for 90 days, so that we can create some negotiations and get a long-term agreement on how we're going to do trade, there's renewed optimism that we may be able to avoid a recession. So during today's episode, we're going to discuss this pause and then shift our discussion to why some think a recession is now less likely. So before we dive headlong in today's topic, let me introduce you to my co-host, Tony Shore, whose wit and wisdom come to us without any tariffs.
Yeah, I'm the same price I've always been, Chris. Cheap. All kidding aside,
you might be inexpensive, but that doesn't mean you're not quality.
That's true. Well, I appreciate the compliment, but joking aside, I think this is a good topic, and you've got a lot of great feedback and comments for our listeners today. But first, how have you been? What's going on there? I know you recently traveled to Iowa, of all places.
Yeah, I went to visit our brother-in-law in Iowa City. He lives there with his wife and two kids. Two little girls, they're beautiful little girls. One nice. Is an amazing singer. They're all getting into doing music. Which is really weird because nobody else in the family does that so much. But yeah, so they have a band.
Wow, that's awesome.
But the oldest girl, she can really croon. She's an amazing singer. So she's looking at maybe doing that.
That's really cool.
We're moving. So here's the retirement part of that is that we're moving, my Tara's mom to Iowa City. And so her brother is setting up a house for her. And so they're going to move to Iowa City where he can be closer to health care, be closer to, somebody that can help them get around if there's an issue, somebody that, be closer and then be closer to her oldest grandkids there. But we kind of are trying to be involved in that a little bit, but
helping out where you can.
Help out where we can. Michael and then the youngest brother, Jed, he's brother number four. He's been helping a lot from the West Virginia end.
And that's where she's moving from.
Yeah.
Your mother-in-law is moving. Tara's mom's moving from West Virginia to Iowa City. And before our listeners in beautiful Colorado laugh about, Iowa, I've been to Iowa City and it's a hip place, actually for Iowa. That's a hip town. Actually, it's kind of neat.
It is. It's a university town.
Yeah.
There's some beautiful hikes. Around there's actually trees and elevation changes there that you just don't expect. It's not just rolling hills.
Or flat, like northern Iowa, where I grew up in Minnesota-Iowa border, it's just flat. You can see for miles. There's not a hill in town, I'll tell you that.
No, right. Yeah, it's got flattened by glaciers or whatever. It is flat up there.
Yep.
Nebraska and Kansas are flat, but for this one little piece, it's far enough, I guess, east
that
the rivers carved out some topography.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's not dry. It's nice. And there's a lot of water there. So there's a lot of, it's very green. It's a lot of growth. The neighborhoods have really, big trees, you know, they're very mature trees and really nice. The city, we went to a little market, Saturday market, and had wonderful truck food, in, to our surprise, about half of it was vegan. So I don't know if it was because that's what they were sponsoring that day or what, but to have that many vegan options and it's not a huge town to have that. It was like, well, that's interesting.
In Iowa. Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah.
Corn and beef capital of.
Yeah. Of the world, basically. Yeah.
So it was a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
Sure. Well, good. Well, yeah. And in that time, I have nothing. I'm pretty boring. Just been working away while you were in Iowa. Yeah. Getting outside though, trying to get some stuff done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Getting stuff done.
It's been raining here recently, so we're starting to see some sunshine this week. And so I'm finally going to be able to get outside and
that's good.
Spray for the pine beetles and do the things that Colorado people have to do.
It's funny. Well, hey, you know what? You said you wanted to talk about how recession fears, you know, with all the tariff talk, there was a lot of talk about how we might go into a recession this year, or what does all this mean? So where do we stand and what's going on with that?
So back on May 12th, there were a lot of high intense conversations between the United States and China, which is our biggest trade partner. And so we've hit the pause button on what's been a really brutal trade war. So they created a 90-day stand down and they put a serious cut into the tariffs on both sides during the stand down. Some duties have dropped by more than 100 percentage points. But I mean, so that's great. It's just, it's a, not just a small tweak. That's because it's significant, right? So, the president and is talking to the Chinese president a lot so that we can create a groundwork to make more progress and move forward with these trade talks. So we can put ourselves on a more level term. Maybe we can get some of our own factories get going, but that would take time, right? So how would we negotiate the time from now till then? I think that's part of the trade talks is like, hey, you guys, you know, we can't buy everything from you. And so they're like, yeah, why not? And so China is slashing the retaliatory tariffs from 125% to just 10, because they do get a few things from us. And then the U.S. tariffs are going from a high of 145 down to 30%. So that's a big deal for the people that export and import and moves goods around the country, around the world.
Yeah.
So it's a big breather for us, right? It's a signal that the business community likes it, right?
Right. The markets have reacted favorably to the agreements, but the agreements we still have are temporary. They haven't come up with any permanent or long-term agreements, and that's the problem.
Well, that is, and you know how this works, is that if they are given a 90-day pause, they're going to wait till day 89 to come up with a plan.
Right.
Because here's I watched a show one time and they talked about compromise, right? And so compromise is when both parties are unhappy. And that's, but you have a way ahead. You have a way of getting to where some people, they like it a little, they don't like it a lot, but there's compromise, right? So some, at some point we've got to get to where we both have things that we're giving up to get some things that we want, right? So we got to have that not everybody's quite happy, but everybody's satisfied
kind of situation. There you go.
It's time.
Yeah, it does. It does take time. I just, you know, I worry about the powers that be. Do they know what they're doing? And will they, you know, I hope this all ends up okay. I hope we can come to some reasonable agreements because, you know, increased tariffs could really affect inflation. I mean, so far our inflation is down. But we'll see. I mean, it hasn't, we haven't had time for it to flow through yet. I think by the end of the year, we'll know if there's been damage done or how much this is going to affect inflation. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. So let's talk about how tariffs affect inflation. So, when a retail store here in Colorado Springs sells something for $10, and that item comes from some country in Asia. So at one point it comes on a boat and it lands in California probably, and it comes off the boat. And then there's a wholesaler there who is responsible for paying the company that shipped it to him and all the fees and everything. So he gets that. So let's say that $10 item costs $2 that he has to pay.
Right.
That company. So he paid $2. Well, the customs guy is standing right behind him, say, hey, we have 100% tariff on that. You owe me $2. So he gives them $2. So now he's in for $4. Well, he normally got $2 on him bringing that in. He paid two and he always doubled the price up to four. So now he has to say, well, to keep my $2 profit, I've got to sell this for $6 to Joe over there in Colorado Springs that runs a store. So he sells it to Joe for $6. Well, Joe used to spend $4 for it. So for Joe to make his money, he's going to raise the price of it from $10 to $12. So that's a 20% markup. So now if all of our goods, say in some big box store, went up 20%, how is that creating inflation of 20% for most people? Because that's where they shop,
right?
You know, a lot of our goods come from Asia, and so now it's a 20% markup. So that's pretty fast inflation, and it's pretty hurtful for a lot of people. When everything goes up by 20%.
Yeah. Yeah. it is hurtful. And boy, you know, if everything went up by 20%, that would be horrible inflation. I mean, obviously we'd be looking at, that's, I think, what led to the recession talks, but now they've backed down. China and the U.S. have come to an agreement, the U.K. and the U.S. But there are still some big tariffs on some items out there. So you want to keep an eye on it, but the sky is falling. We're headed into recession. Recessions happen. We will have another recession at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's right. But it's no reason to panic, right? A recession isn't the end of the world. These things happen.
No, it's something we build into our plan. So,
right.
So if we have a recession, well, what do we do during a recession? So a recession could just be a downturn in the market because it's your personal economy when it's a recession. Just because it's a national recession, did you have a recession? Well, maybe you didn't. Maybe you did. But how do you, when the national economy, the stock market's going down, has a recession, how does that affect you? So that's what we want to make sure is that you don't have a personal recession if there's a stock market drop or if the economy is is going out of whack. You know, there's the inflation, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, so with the U.S. and China, what do you think the chances are that they'll come to reach a permanent agreement, or, you know, instead of just a 90-day temporary agreement? Do you think that we can reach a permanent agreement that just goes on?
I think so. I think that is the goal for both countries is to create a trade agreement that lets everybody have some level of winning and some level of losing that we can all all work with. Right. And one of the big things is like pharmaceuticals. And so that it seems unlikely that pharmaceuticals will be part of the deal because it's such a problem. The fentanyl issues that we've had with China, those kind of things. So the administration wants to bring businesses and supply chains back home to the U.S. So that's a goal of ours, but it's got to be part of a bigger conversation because that takes time. So how do we create a situation where a business can forecast, you know, okay, I'm going to build this factory. I'm going to have this factory built in maybe a year and a half. Then I'm going to start making this widget. And then this widget is going to be able to compete with the widgets being sold from other countries. And that's what we're talking about is how does that get created so that we can have that. And then where does China get what they want? Right. So, you know, we do have leverage because we're the purchaser of these goods, right? We have the money, we're purchasing them. So we do have some leverage in the negotiation. It's not all on one side or the other.
Yeah. I think your point is, and I think people need to realize so much of what we have over here. I would say the biggest part of China's economy is U.S. Companies purchasing their goods.
That's right.
So it's really U.S. consumers and U.S. companies that are really have really driven China's economy and their markets and their companies. So we do have some leverage there because
we do.
We buy so much from them that, you know, if we turn off that spigot, they could be in trouble. I mean, I would think.
They could be in big trouble and guess who's the biggest country in the world? It's not China. It's India now. They have
It's India. Yeah. Yeah.
So are you starting to see more Indian goods showing up, you know, in stores? Well, I think I am.
Yeah.
So maybe we're going to look for other, we can look for other trade partners.
Yeah.
And so, they're not the only game in town for inexpensive labor and low cost products.
Yeah.
So there is some leverage with that, but I don't think, you know, we want to have a good relationship with China. I think President Trump has set that tone. But he just wants to create a situation where we have a more level trading field. And so, and this is not a political statement whatsoever on whether I like the Trump administration or don't, or how much I like them or how much I dislike them. This is what's happening. So, and this is how the business is going. So I think it seems to be like we're moving in a positive direction and the stock market's responded. The economists are like, they're not talking doom and gloom like they were.
Right.
I remember reading an article back in January when the tariffs first started hitting the news that there were all these economists that were just really sounding the recession bell.
Yep. They really were.
And hitting it hard. And it's like, well, yeah, okay. But, you know, our administration has kind of you know, they kind of rang that bell too, saying we're going to fix this trade issue and we're going to do whatever it takes. So we don't care about you economists. We're going to fix this trade issue. So that's what they're focused on. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a good thing. And I'm glad they're finally sitting down and being reasonable. It just seemed to escalate quickly and it didn't seem like there was much of a plan. And I think it's communication because, you know, they are, the markets love certainty, or they love when something's uncertain. Our economy and our markets don't like it. Not knowing was part of the problem. I think the administration has been better recently about communicating what's going on. I think they hopefully learned their lessons about the way they began this thing, which was a fiasco. And just what did they call that day, that Tuesday where he announced all the big tariffs and had the chart?
Liberation Day.
Liberation Day. That was a hot mess. The markets tanked and that was one of the worst things ever.
Did you feel liberated?
No, but they learned their lesson. I mean, and now we're, I mean, you know, yeah, I just think, you know, people said, well, they've been talking about it for a long time. They've been talking about tariffs. Trump's always talked about tariffs. So it shouldn't have come as a surprise, but I think the first thing he did in office was this tariff thing, and that surprised people. People thought he'd get extend the tax cuts first or something, so the market would have something to latch onto. But I mean, it's mellowed out. Inflation right now is good. The economy's okay, so that's good. I mean, there's always things to watch, though.
Always things to watch, and we put tariffs on things before. There was like 3 years ago they put a 100% tariff on electric vehicles being imported from China to the United States.
Yep.
So that was to protect our industry so that they could stand up their own electric vehicle situation, and that's what, you know, GM and Ford and the big three have been doing. Dodge, they've been creating avenues to so they can sell electric vehicles.
Right.
And so tariffs did that one thing for that one industry, specifically for one product, and electric vehicles. Yep. And we've been doing that throughout time. So tariffs aren't new. But a blanket tariff on all goods was
a and little 140%. That's
140%. It was like, oh no. It's like, what?
or even 25% all at once on something that's really critical, like autos, or, you know, it's one thing to have EVs where you're trying to, you want to manufacture them here and vehicles, but you've got to incrementally work this. And I just hope that, they figure it out. I mean, I hope it doesn't make cars unaffordable and, you know, things like that. So,
right. Because it's a supply chain issue. And because you order the parts, they come, and then all of a sudden, instead of paying $10 for them, you're paying $20 at the, at the port. And so now when you put it in the car, they have to charge an extra $60 for that part.
Yeah.
And so it's a big supply issue for something like a car that takes, you know, months to get everything put together to build.
And takes a lot of parts from electronics to steel to plastic to everything. And, glass, everything. So it is interesting. And, you know, I get, hey, we don't want to rely on everything from other countries. We want to be somewhat self-sufficient, but at the same time, we are part of a global economy. So I think they're trying to walk a razor's edge, right? And it's a delicate balance. Yeah. And sure, we want to be fair, but at the same time, you know, at some point it's like, you know, we want to be fair, but at the same time we have some advantages. So, I mean, we're still in a good position.
We're going to use those. Yeah. So back in the 80s, we decided to keep it 70s or 80s. We decided to keep everything a free market. So, because we believe strongly in the free market.
Yeah.
So we've been doing that since. And so the tariffs, when you say a blanket tariff on a country for everything coming from them, that is not free market. And it is. And so what we're doing is we're slowing down the access to a country's ability to sell goods in our market. So it's no longer free, buddy. You're going to have to be more competitive, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have to do something else because it's not free. We're going to make this, there's going to be a guy at the gate saying, no, not your stuff, because otherwise you got to pay this and you don't want to pay it. So go away.
Well, before we go, I know that people, when they see the news, they hear talk of recession or tariffs.
Yeah.
Don't panic. No. As long as you're working with a financial professional, financial services professional, Chris, like you and Tara, if you're close to retirement or in retirement, these things concern you, and that's rightfully so. However, if you have a plan in place, you don't that's need right. to worry. And to get that plan in place, how can our listeners get a hold of you, Chris?
So they can reach us at 719-210-4242. Give us a call. We have some complimentary consultations set aside for people that call in off the radio. We do those Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Give us a call, 719-210-4242. Check us out at our website, nolanfinancialpartners.com. You can listen to this radio program or programs we've aired before. So you can check out some of our other topics there. It's our goal to help you prepare for the retirement you work so hard for. We really want to help you create a plan that is robust and can take care of you whenever there are recessions. And it's not so reliant on one thing to carry you through.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I think that's really good. It makes a lot of sense, Chris. We need to make sure we have a financial plan in place. And again, listeners, get a hold of Chris and Tara. They can set that up for you. And good show today, Chris. Great topic. That does it for today's episode of Nolan Financial Radio with our host, Chris Nolan.
Join us again soon for another episode of Nolan Financial Partners. Take care, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you for listening to Nolan Financial Radio. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Tara Nolan at Tara Nolan Advisory Services. Call 719-210-4242 or visit the website at taraenolan.com.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.